Audio on. Now we're on. Okay. You just thankful I wasn't wearing it while I was singing. Amen. Well, it's good to be back. It's been a long time. Been too long. We'll look forward to coming more often. God is working. You know that the Lord called us to a work, and we've been laboring, and God is blessing. But it has required our attention. And so we weren't able to get away. And I kept saying, we're going to work it out. We're going to work it out. But it had to be in God's timing. And it just happened that this was the timing. And then like Brother Joe said, I was invited to come be a part of the couples retreat, my wife and I. And so we'll get back to see you then. Won't be too long. And then we're just going to have to get back into a rhythm. Amen? Where we come around just every once in a while. And we'll get back to where we did it like before, where we'll just show up. And that way I can hear Brother Doug preach, amen? It'll be a good time. But it is good to see each and every one. You're smiling. I thought Chris wasn't going to come over. He heard I was here. He didn't come for the meal. And then I got worried. He came in the last minute. But anyway, it's just good to see each and every one. Well, it's been a long year. But God's been good. You know, when last we got together, I told you if you just trust God, He would give you the right man. And I have heard over and over from different ones that that's exactly what God did. He provided the right man. And I have been very anxious. Brother Doug and I have talked on the phone a few times, but I have been very anxious to meet him, excited about him, excited for him, and excited for the church, because God does bless. God never fails. Trials. We know for a fact that, and I know it's hard to see it in the midst of it, and it was devastating. But all things work together for good to them that love the Lord and are called according to His purpose. You believe that to be true?
Amen.
Amen. But I will tell you this. Every trial has a purpose. And sometimes we're not prepared for what the purpose is. The purpose of any given trial is to strengthen us for the next one. There are still things ahead. But God is faithful. I'm so thankful to stand here tonight and look at the remnant. You know, there's a purging that has to happen at some point, because we must recognize that not everyone that says, Lord, Lord, is destined for the kingdom. There are those that will declare it. There are those that put forth a good front. But when the trials come, they abandon ship. But it's all part of the purging. It makes things stronger. More dedicated. More assured. That as you band together in the Lord, God will continue to work His purpose. To that end, I want to talk to you tonight. I want you to take your Bibles, go to 1 Kings chapter number 13. And moving forward, we must always be guarded. There are some evidences that are given in the first portion of chapter 13 of 1 Kings that are evidences of an assured faith in God and His purpose. And I want to talk to you about those first and foremost, because those are the things that we want to continue in. Amen? Those things that evidence our assured faith in God and His purpose. Those of you that are familiar with the Bibles, you know this passage of Scripture has to do with a divided kingdom. And there was, in fact, Rehoboam and Jeroboam. And as it was, Jeroboam decided to set up the two calves in the two cities, because he knew if the people went back to Jerusalem that they might be drawn back. And so he purposed many things of himself. As a matter of fact, he purposed, and we're not going to take the time tonight to read it. I'm going to move through this as quickly as I can. But he purposed in chapter 12 of himself to set up the golden calves. He purposed to build the houses, to build temples for them. He purposed in the fact that he would assign his own priest. He named his own priest. All the things that God was over, all the things that God had set in order by means of the nation, Jeroboam is now taking to himself. He not only assigned his own priests, but he set up his own holy days. He designated certain days as holy days that they were to be to worship in, and then he set up his own altar. All these things were devised of his own heart. We've got to guard ourselves that we don't stray away from the things of God to do our own thing. So we come into chapter 13, and it says, beginning in verse number 1, and as we look into the Word of God, I'm going to ask you once again just to bow with me and ask God's blessing together upon His Word. Father, again, we praise You for Your goodness. Thank You for Your faithfulness. And Father, I do pray that Your Word will go forth with power tonight, with which You have intended. You have purposed of it. That it would speak to our hearts. That it would encourage and motivate, and if necessary, change our lives to a betterment, Lord. We pray that by means of all that we take in tonight, it'll draw us to a closer walk with You. Father, be glorified in all that's done in this house. And we'll praise You for what You're going to do, because You are faithful. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. The Bible says, "Behold, there came a man of God out of Judah by the word of the Lord unto Bethel, and Jeroboam stood by the altar that he had built, to burn incense, which was not the duty of a king. But he took it upon himself, and so he stood by the altar to burn incense, and he cried against the altar, this man of God, he cried against the altar in the word of the Lord, and said, O altar, altar, thus saith the Lord, behold, a child shall be born unto the house of David, Josiah by name, and upon thee shall he offer the priest of the high places that burn incense upon thee, and men's bones shall be burned upon thee. And he gave a sign the same day, saying, this is a sign which the Lord hath spoken. Behold, the altar shall be rent, and the ashes that are upon it shall be poured out. And it came to pass when King Jeroboam heard the saying of the man of God, which he cried against the altar in Bethel, that he put forth his hand from the altar, saying, lay hold on him, and his hand which he put forth against him dried up, so that he could not pull it in again to him. The altar also was rent, and the ashes poured out from the altar according to the sign which the man of God had given by the word of the Lord. And the king answered and said unto the man of God, entreat now the face of the Lord thy God, and pray for me that my hand may be restored again. And the man of God besought the Lord, and the king's hand was restored to him again, and it became as it was before. And the king said unto the man of God, come home with me, and refresh thyself, and I will give thee a reward. And the man of God said unto the king, if thou wilt give me half thine house, I will not go in with thee, neither will I eat bread nor drink water in this place. For it was charged me by the word of the Lord, saying, eat no bread, nor drink water, nor turn again by the same way that thou camest. So he went another way, and returned by the way and return not by the way that he came to Bethel. Let's stop our reading there for a moment. I want to talk to you about the evidences of assured faith. It all has to do with the Word of God. I love what he said in verse number 9 when he said, "It was charged me." The word charged means he was commanded. God commanded him. Folks, I have all of my ministry tried to impress upon people that this Bible is not a book of suggestions. People want to read through it and they want to look at it and they want to take it as though God suggested that if you do this, things will be well. Suggested that you might go this route. No, no, no. God commanded. And I love that the man of God presented it after that fashion. No apology. Listen to me. The evidence of his faith was based solely on what he had received of God. And he endeavored to do those things. And I'm telling you, when your faith is based on an assurance that it is the will of God and the Word of God, then these evidences will be apparent in your life. Now you got to understand, this man, God called this man to go stand before the king. The king! And present to him that everything that he was doing was against the will of God. That there would be a judgment for it. That God was going to raise up another man instead of him that was going to bring the nation back. And listen to me. Under the authority of the king, he had his very life in his hands. And that's why when it said he reached forth his hand and he said to him, lay hold on him. To lay hold on him was to take him, put him in prison. And then we'll judge him accordingly. I'm going to tell you what. We're going to face some trials in life. We're going to face some times that could be desperate. We're going to face some times when we're going to have to lean on the truth of God's Word and the faithfulness of God. And that's what this man did. You know what it was that evidenced his assurance in God? Was the fact that he had this courage. God said go and he went. Amen. And I'm telling you, he went without fear. He walked right in there, stood before the king, and began to pronounce the Word of God. There's courage that's always associated with the true faith. Courage to do the things that are right in lieu of what may be the cost. One of the greatest illustrations of that, and I just preached this message a few weeks ago, was Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. You remember when they stood before the king? And the king said, look, we can make this right. He said, I'm going to start the music once again. And if you just go ahead and bow this time, then it'll all be good. So I'll strike up the band and no matter what you've done, it'll all be good. But if not, who is this God that can save you out of my hands? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego stood there and looked the king straight in the face. He said, O king, we are not slow to answer thee concerning this matter. You don't have to start the band. You don't have to get them playing. Because we're not going to bow. Amen. You stood the test, church. You didn't bow in the midst of the circumstances. You didn't bow in the midst of the trial. You didn't bow in the fiery trial that was to try you. And the reason you were able to sustain is because you did exactly what Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego did. They believed that their God was able. You remember what they said to the king? Our God is able. Praise the Lord. I'm telling you, there's a courage that is evidenced in a great faith. The other thing that's evidenced is a boldness. A boldness. You have to be bold. Not arrogant. Not prideful. Because it's not us, it's God. But you have to be bold. Our God is able. There's first the courage, then there's the boldness, and then there's the power. The power that is evidenced by a faithfulness in God. It's the blessing of God upon those that just do what God has asked to be done. No, let me rephrase that. Just do what God has commanded to be done. Anyone can bow to the pressure. But it takes a great faith to stand in power. Empowered of God to see it through. And then by means of that, there's also evidence by means of a great faith, a steadfast commitment. Not going to change. Not going to change. Listen to me, folks. God still says today what He said all those many years ago. This book has never changed. Men have changed and wrote other books, but this book has never changed. This Bible, the authorized version, has never changed. God said what He meant and meant what He said. He doesn't apologize for it. He doesn't have to change it. Our God doesn't change, and His Word will never change. So there's a steadfastness that is always an evidence of that assured faith. A steadfastness, no matter what the temptation is, no matter what the danger is, there's a steadfastness in trusting and believing in God. But, having come down through this, let's go back and let's read a little further. Because the truth of it is, friend, listen to me, you and I both know that the influences never go away. Those influences that deceive, those trials that come, those burdens that we bear, those things that are put upon us on a daily basis never go away. A dear friend of mine wrote a song one time, and by means of the song he made this statement. He said, if you want the devil to leave you alone, have nothing, know nothing, and do nothing for God. And the devil will leave you alone every time. But if you have something, know something, or do something for God, you're going to be tried. You're going to be tempted. You're going to be tested. Having said that, child of God, I want to be tested every day. Because I want to always have something, know something, and do something for God. So here it is. The influences that will deceive a person, and we've got to guard ourselves continually against these things. So the Bible goes on, so he went another way and returned not by the way that he came to Bethel. Verse number 11. Now there dwelt an old prophet in Bethel, and his sons came and told him all the works that the man of God had done that day in Bethel, the words which he had spoken unto the king. Them they told also to their father. And their father said unto them, what way went he? For his sons had seen the way that the man of God went when he left town. They saw the direction that he went, the path that he took. And so it says, which came from Judah. And he said unto his sons, saddle me the ass. And he sat, and they saddled him the ass, and he rode thereon, and he went after the man of God. And found him sitting under an oak. And he said unto him, art thou the man of God that camest from Judah? And he said, I am. Then he said unto him, come home with me and eat bread. And he said, I may not return with thee, nor go in with thee, neither will I eat bread nor drink water with thee in this place. For it was said to me by the word of the Lord. I want you to catch that. Look back over at verse number 9. You remember when he spoke to the king, how he referred to it? He said, it was charged to me. A command was given. Now he's over here and he's talking to this. And there are some things that brought him to this point. We're going to talk about those things. But now he has loosened his grip on how it was given to him. Now, instead of being commanded, it was just said. And this is where we get in trouble, because at this point, it's almost as though you could interpret it as it was proposed to me, or it was suggested to me. Thou shalt eat no bread nor drink water there, nor turn again to go by the way that thou camest. And he said unto him, I am a prophet also, as thou art. And an angel spake unto me by the word of the Lord, saying, bring him back with thee into thine house, that he may eat bread and drink water. And if you didn't get that, then it just lays it out very plainly at the end of that verse. What does it say? But he lied. A prophet. And he lied. A lying preacher. That's one of the greatest tragedies. A lying preacher. But I'm going to tell you, there are a few of them out there. I've heard some of them. I've known a few of them. A lying preacher. So he went back with him. Putting more confidence in what a man said than what God had said. Giving heed more to what a man said than the charge, the command that God had given to him. Remember what I said? God never changes. You better hold on to that. Because there are men out there that are preaching lies that are no truth at all. You better hold on to what God says. So he went back, and he did eat bread, and he drank water in his house. Verse number 20 says, and it came to pass that as they sat at the table, the word of the Lord came unto the prophet, the lying prophet. God used the lying prophet now to tell the truth. Look what he said. And he cried unto the man of God that came from Judah, saying, thus saith the Lord, for as much as thou hast disobeyed the mouth of the Lord and hast not kept the commandment which the Lord thy God commanded thee, but thou camest back and hast eaten bread and drunk water in the place of which the Lord did say to thee, eat no bread and drink no water, thy carcass shall not come into the sepulcher of thy fathers. The influences that distract are a part of our daily life. He had gone to a place that he was unfamiliar with. He was alone. He felt alone. I had a conversation with a man the other day. He was in such despair. He'd lost his wife and he lives alone, and he had gone into anxiety attacks. And when I went and talked to him, he said, preacher, I'm so alone. I said, no, friend, you're not. Because God said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. I said, you're never alone. I said, when you feel those anxieties coming on, I said, just start talking to God. Remind yourself that He's right there with you. And I guarantee you it'll start to calm your heart immediately. We cried together and he thanked me. But sometimes we feel alone. He just made a long journey. He was tired. You know, tired doesn't just weaken the body. It weakens everything. You become so exhausted that you just want to give up. He was alone, he was tired, he was hungry and thirsty. He said, don't eat while you're there. Don't eat. He was hungry and he was thirsty. He was in an unfamiliar territory. God will take you places that are going to be unfamiliar to you. God will bring you through times that are going to be exhausting. He'll allow those things in your life. And you've got to be prepared for it. Because the temptation always attacks in our weakness. The devil knows exactly what to do and when to do it. Friend, he's got over 6,000 years of practice. You can't fight him in your own strength. You've got to cling to the Word of God. You've got to cling to God Himself. Because I'm going to tell you, the greatest temptations come through the most unsuspected sources. Another prophet. Another man of God. And he lied. The father of all lies is Satan himself. These temptations come to us. In the midst of your weakness, in the midst of your distress, just look to God. Lean on God. Trust in what you know that God has said. You know, as I looked at this, I recognized some of the failures that came that brought this about. Child of God, if we're going to sit here tonight, we're going to have to confess we fail. We do. There are times in our weakness we fail. We've got to guard ourselves constantly against the things that will cause us to fail. And what I see by means of this man of God after the greatest demonstration of his faith, after seeing the power of God working to perform the Word of God as He had commanded, the altar break in pieces and the ashes fell, just as God said would be the sign. The king reaches forth his hand and God withers his hand so that he can't draw it back to himself. I mean, the power of God was so evidenced in everything that had gone on. And yet somehow, in short order, he came to a place where he allowed himself to be deceived. The things that I just gave you by means of his weakness, his hunger, all of those things played into being part of it. But you know what I see by means of his failures? I want you to look. When this man found him, he rode after him. And when he found him, where did he find him? He found him sitting under an oak. He stopped. He stopped when he should have kept going. In the midst of the trials and the troubles, we're tempted to stop. But God calls us to keep going. Keep going. I'm telling you, church, listen to me. You have come through a year of purposed moving forward. You kept going when so many others chose to stop. He stopped. That was one of the things that allowed the failure to come. He stopped when he should have kept going. He was deceived and willing to hear a lie when he knew what God had said. Can I tell you, don't listen. Don't listen to the lies. Be willing to hear a new thing. My pastor used to always say when I was very young. My pastor, and I never forget the things my pastor told me. He was a very godly man, and evidenced it in all the ways that I told you are evidenced by means of a man of God. But he always said this. He said, "If it's new, it's not true, and if it's true, it's not new." I've had people, I've had some of my own people come in and say, "Hey, Pastor, I saw something, and man, it just opened my eyes to a new thing." Now listen to me. God will open your eyes to new things as you study the Word of God. Things that are new to you, they're not new by means of the Word of God, but they'll be new to you. God will do that. But I've had them start laying out things, and you know, they've reasoned it out themselves, and they said, "Here's what I found. Here's what I..." No, you didn't find that in the Word of God. You conjured that up in your mind. Don't listen to new things. Trust what God has said. Stick with the truth that you know. So the first thing, he stopped, and then he was deceived when he was willing to hear something apart from the Word of God that had been given to him of God. And then you know what he did? He backslid. He went back. Too many times we turn and instead of going forward, we go back. These are the failures that lead to the distresses of the Christian life. And as these things begin to add up, they discourage us. They overcome our faith. They remove our courage. They deplete our boldness. And before we know it, they've taken away our power. He was defeated. And the adversary destroyed him. Verse number 24 says, "And when he was gone, a lion met him by the way and slew him. And his carcass was cast in the way, and the ass stood by it, and the lion also stood by the carcass." That'll tell you something about the hand of God in that. Because I'm going to tell you, a lion at any given point would have rather eaten the ass than the man. And he didn't devour the man, he just slew him. The carcass lay there. God will always perform his perfect work. Okay. Now let me give you some encouragement. What must be done so that we maintain in God's will, going God's way? First thing, you must maintain your faith. Exercise it constantly. There's going to be many times when the devil's going to conclude for you that you can't do it. But that's not what God said. Child of God, the most misused phrase in the Christian life is this: I can't. No, that's not what God says. God says, you can do all things through Christ, which strengthens you. I can do all things, Paul said. In the Spirit. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. Philippians 4:13. Don't say I can't when God moves you to do something. If you're going to say anything, you might as well just go ahead and rebel and say, because this is what you're really saying. It's not I can't. What you're saying is I won't. You've got to maintain your faith. You've got to believe that God still moves on men to do things as God would have it to be done. And keep going when the discouragements come. Don't stop. Don't rest. Keep moving. Keep moving. Keep advancing. Don't listen to those that contradict the truth of God's Word. You need to have an assurance of what God has said to you. When you pray, your prayer ought to be, child of God, Father, what would you have for me to do? What would you have for me to do? And then open your ears. Stop and listen. Because God will tell you exactly what He wants you to do. And then move forward in the path that God has laid. Don't go backward. Never back up. Never backslide. And finally, I want to give you a thought. You need to be careful who you associate with. You need to be careful who you fellowship with. Because there are those that would draw you out of the way. As surely as you give ear to what they have to say. Guard yourself constantly. Concerning the faith that we've talked about tonight, a faith that's demonstrated in courage and boldness and all of those evidences, concerning that kind of faith, I want to say this to you. It's only true faith if you exercise it to the glory of God. It's not about what we want to do. It's about what He wants us to do. So, church, I want to encourage you to continue. God has blessed you to this end. I've had testimony after testimony of individuals that God gave you the right man, and I believe that from the start. I told you, trust the Lord and God will give you the man that He has for you. And I believe God's done that in Brother Doug. And I've witnessed tonight your love for him. He and I have spoken. I know of his love for you just in the conversations he and I have had. And I know of your love for him in the conversations that I've had with many of you. But tonight, I witnessed it as you fellowship together. God has brought you together for a purpose. To love one another. To strengthen each other. And above all, to be faithful till Jesus comes. And I believe, I've always loved this church. You know that. I've stood in this pulpit many times and told you how much I love this church. And you know, when we talk about the church, we're not talking about the property. We're not talking about the building. We're talking about the people that sit in these pews. And this church has always had a hunger for the Word of God. This church has always had a respect for the man of God. I'm asking you to be faithful. Just do what God's commanded. Do it courageously. Do it boldly. Do it unapologetically. Don't listen to the influences that are still out there that would try to sway you away from the mission that God has for this church until He comes. Be faithful. Let's pray.